I'm Raina Dipti-Annabelle, aka Mummy Imperfect, and you're listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect, the podcast that celebrates and explores all things womanhood and motherhood. This podcast is a judgment-free zone where we talk about issues that are often taboo, issues that are topical, and we dust off those issues that somehow got brushed under the carpet. Now, in this episode, I'm covering quite a serious subject, but one that's quite close to my heart, and it's something that I've been reading about for a while and learning about, like, for the last few months. So I'm talking about the farmers' protest that is taking place in India. Now, if you're not aware of it, of what I'm talking about, the India's farmers' protest is an ongoing protest against three farm acts which were passed by the Parliament of India in September 2020. Farmers' unions and their representatives have demanded that the laws be repealed and will not accept anything short of it. So the farmers believe that the new laws would end government-set prices and force them to sell to powerful corporations rather than government-run markets. So I'm going to be talking about this in more depth today with my guest. Her name is Rehmat Rayath, and she is a London-based filmmaker and photographer and the director of Toxification, a documentary that gives a deep insight into the price paid by the farmers of Punjab for the food on our plates. So I'm going to be talking to Rehmat about the story of Toxification, what is happening in India now, and also the women behind the farmers' protests. So Rehmat, welcome to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you on. Now, I watched your film Toxification on Amazon Prime the other night, and I thought, like, as I'm Punjabi and, you know, I'm quite in touch with my roots, I'm quite in touch with what's going on in India, I have family there, I thought I was quite clued up on the farmers in Punjab. But this film was really eye-opening for me, and, like, I would say eye-opening and heartbreaking as well. So for people that haven't seen it, can you just summarize the issues that you cover in the film?
Yeah, so I won't talk too much about it because I'm really keen for people to watch it, and yes, it's available on Amazon Prime for those in the UK and USA. Essentially, Toxification brings together three of what we feel are the main issues into one film. So we're talking about the toxification of the land, body and mind. So the toxification of the land deals with agricultural, chemical overuse, pesticide overuse, things like that. Toxification of the body talks about drug abuse, which is a huge problem in Punjab. And then the toxification of the mind is talking about mental health and how things like loans and other stresses, which are connected with the farming industry, are affecting people's mental health.
Mm-hmm. And you made this a couple of years ago, didn't you, before all this, the farmers' protests happened. So are you Punjabi yourself? Like, do you have family there? What made you want to make this film?
Yeah, so it's I think this is quite a unique thing. I'm Punjabi, but I feel very disconnected from my heritage. So my family came to the UK via Kenya. So they were in Kenya for three generations. So we've got no family in India, and every time I've traveled there, it's been like very much as a tourist. So I'll just mm-hmm. go and, like, you know, visit all the tourist attractions and stay in hotels. So it's kind of not really the same thing. And I don't really speak Punjabi, which, yeah, is a bit of a shame, but that's how I've grown up. And so I've struggled with not really feeling much of a connection with India and especially Punjab. Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason why I went out to film Toxification was because I was keen to forge that connection myself with the land. So I had heard on the news about farmer suicides, and this was back in 2014, so it's a long time ago. And I had heard about the farmer suicides, and I thought I would like to see this for myself. And I really felt a sense of responsibility that this issue was clearly not getting much attention in the UK and even in India. And I felt a sense of responsibility as a Punjabi to go and, like, kind of cover this and bring the truth to, like, the people. And especially I was thinking about my friends and family here in the UK. So it's been a really long journey since 2014. So we began research in the beginning of 2014. We went out in October of 2014. And then from there, I mean, it was a really challenging journey at the beginning because we were two young filmmakers who went out without really much of a plan. plan, well, our plan was to make a 5-minute short film, and then it just like completely snowballed. And while we were there, we were a bit confused about what we were doing. And then every time someone would ask us, how long is your film? We would be like, oh yeah, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And then it was like 30 minutes. And then there was a point where we were like, yeah, we're not really sure. And then we came back and started the editing process, which was extremely long. I mean, that in itself took us a good few years. And then the film was released into cinemas. At the same kind of time, it was selected for a number of film festivals, and it won Best Documentary at Ottawa Indian Film Festival.
Well done, yeah.
Thank you. It was really amazing. And then from there, I think it was covered in The Guardian and The Times of India, and that's when the issue started to kind of gain some traction. And obviously, we never expected or wanted, you know, the situation that has happened now with the farmer protests and the new agricultural bills. That's obviously not something that we ever wanted. But in some ways, the fact that it's just released onto Amazon Prime last week is really timely. And I'm really glad that people are watching it and educating themselves on the context to the farmer's plight, because I think a lot of people think that it's just these three recent agricultural bills which are the reason for the protests. And for me, I believe that, you know, large scale protests like this, they don't just happen overnight. This has been decades and decades of challenge which the farmers have faced, which has led to this decision for this large scale protest. So yeah, for me, it's really important to watch Toxification, because if you don't have that understanding of the context, it becomes, it becomes difficult to understand why the farmers are protesting, and especially like on a social level as well.
Definitely. I do believe that people need to see it to kind of, like you said, get the whole story behind it. But, you know, obviously farmers in the whole of India are affected. But when we're talking about Punjab right now, and, you know, like, what people know about Punjab, what is portrayed in the media, especially like Indian media, is like, you know, big personality people, like they love their food, you know, farming is a big thing, lush green fields, fertile land, it's a land of five rivers, the birthplace of Sikhism. So and the thing is about it being a fertile land, and the whole thing of being a farmer, having your own land, it should be one of the most empowering things you can do, right? It should be. Mm-hmm. But why is that not the case?
Yeah, it's a really sad situation when you think about it, because you're right, farmers should be kind of masters of their own land. They should be able to dictate the way their life goes. But so one example of the challenge that they face, so I mentioned that we went to film in October, and that was around the harvest time. Mm-hmm. And we felt really like we were really excited by the fact that all of the farmers, literally the whole month that we were there, every time you would drive out of the village that we were staying in, on like either side of the road, there were fields, and there were farmers and their families who were thrashing rice or wheat, I can't remember which one, probably both, by hand. And so they essentially take like a, you know, a big kind of clump of rice and they thrash it onto an oil drum, you will have seen in the film. And we were like, oh, so amazing, so beautiful, how lovely. And we were kind of like really happy to film all those scenes. And it wasn't until later that we got chatting to a farmer and we were just saying, oh, how lovely. And he said, no, this is like really, really like horrendous for us. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said that what had happened was there had been one rainfall 1 week too late. Mm-hmm. So literally one rainfall a week after there kind of should have been rainfall meant that the ground was too soft to use combine harvesters. So they had to do all of this thrashing by hand.
Oh my God.
And that must have taken literally like weeks and weeks longer than just, you know, maybe you could do one field in a day with a combine harvester. This was literally taking hours and hours. And I think probably the farmers had to, you know, employ labourers or, you know, bring friends and family on board. And that kind of really shows how they are so reliant on the seasons and the weather which is obviously like very unpredictable. Yeah. So it's such a challenging situation, and obviously you find out a lot more in the film about how the issues kind of connect with each other and intertwine with each other. But that's just one example of how challenging it can be just from a very small kind of incident.
And your film, like you said, talks a lot about all these chemicals that the farmers have got to put on the land, and the story behind all of that. And I, a few months ago, I had a guest on here, Sakina Garcia, who spoke about fast fashion, and she talked to me about the cotton industry and why organic cotton is so much better. And I just feel like, is it time for us to kind of put our money where our mouth is? Because we all know organic is better. And, you know, I'm sure when people watch the film, they will know organic is better. And what can we do there? Like, why aren't there more organic farms there?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. There are two kind of issues or challenges. The first is that in order to be certified organic, essentially there are people who come and kind of like check your soil every few months, I believe. And if you've been farming, it's called conventional farming, which uses chemicals, it takes up to about 7 years for those chemicals to kind of, you know, not be in the soil anymore, right. Not be causing damage in the soil anymore. So you've got 7 years where you can't market your produce as organic, but your yield is probably going to be less. So that's one challenge. And I think the response needs to be so large scale. Maybe we'll talk about that a bit later. But that's one challenge. And the other challenge is kind of like I mentioned, the yield will be less. And like you alluded to, there's not currently like a market for it. So if there was a market for it, then it might be a possibility for them to grow more organic produce. But it's a really challenging thing. I think the biggest challenge, or the biggest reason why they're not farming organically at the moment, is because of this kind of 7 year period. Yeah. And I mean, every farmer we spoke to said we would love to farm organically. So,
and the farmers, like a lot of the people that are protesting, these are farmers who have like small scale farms, don't they? So their livelihood depends on selling as much as they can to feed their families. And the film really showed how difficult that can be. And so at the moment, there seems like there's a mental health epidemic, right, at the moment going on in Punjab. Mm. And how many farmers is it a year that take their own lives, roughly? Do you know the figures?
It's 3 every 2 days. And that was a study that was done, I think, about 10, 12 years ago. So I'm sure it's more now.
Yeah.
Because the situation has been getting worse and worse. So, yeah, it's a huge number.
That really is, isn't it? Like, I just want to talk a little bit about the women now, because like from this podcast, I'm always trying to look at the women's point of view. So when the farmers commit suicide, okay, if they find that there's no way out for them, and then that's what they turn to, what about the women of these families? Like, the farmers, you know, have tragically ended their lives, but then these women are left to raise the children. How hard does life get for them?
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it, because what's really important to me is that these people have the opportunity to kind of speak for themselves and tell their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really keen for people to watch the film. But yeah, what I will say is that one of the most tragic parts about farmer suicide is that if a farmer commits suicide, their debt gets passed on to the family. And these are families, I mean, many of the families that we filmed had, you know, the father was the only breadwinner and the children were young. And so there's literally no other way for them to make money to be able to pay this loan. It's really, really tragic.
Because a lot of the time with farmers and in rural families, because of the level of education and because of just the way the families are, there's this thing about dowries as well, isn't it? Like, you know, if you happen to have girls, then you've got to pay for the wedding and pay the dowries. And then that's another thing on top of all the other debts that they get themselves into. Did you find that was the case in a lot of these situations?
Yeah, I think that's still very important in you know, in those rural communities. And to be honest, it's still happening here in the UK. It's still very much a normal thing. So yeah, that's something that needs to be looked at. It would be, I think, a really positive thing to see the abolishment of dowry. And I'm not sure we'll see it in our lifetimes, but, you know, that would be a really positive thing.
So I'm just trying to think of how we can see the situation improving for women. Like, is education the way out? Because often, if you're in a farming family, that's all you know, right? And you won't, sometimes they can't afford education, or that's just not what they go into. So is that the way out for them?
I think it has to be a holistic approach. And for me, it's education, it's, you know, supporting people's mental health and emotional well-being as well, because these are traumatic circumstances and traumatic, you know, spaces to live within. I mean, we filmed in Sungrul, which is not even an area with the highest number of suicides, and yet everyone knew someone. Everyone knew a farmer, or, you know, a father of a friend, or someone who had committed suicide. So they are traumatic, you know, situations. So the solution has to be holistic, and it has to also involve the land as well. I think there needs to be some kind of detoxification from the ground up, and I'm really keen to find that solution. And I definitely encourage anyone who has friends or family in Punjab to send them the My Bind survey, which is by Saving Punjab. You can find it on their website, savingpunjab.org. It's essentially a survey to get a deeper understanding of what issues are affecting which areas.
Right.
And I think for me, it's really important to get that knowledge so that we can create a solution which is tailored to each area, rather than just kind of like rolling out, or just, you know, pumping money into something that we're not entirely sure is going to work. So yeah, definitely friends and family who live in Punjab to complete the My Bind survey.
My Bind survey. Okay, cool. So just going back to the women that I've seen in the protests as well, because I've been seeing a lot of footage of them. So, you know, these are people also that have travelled to Punjab. The farmers have gone, their wives have gone, people whose husbands commit suicide have gone, and they're speakers, you know, and then they're representing unions and also making roti for everybody every day. Like, I don't know how much of that kind of footage you've seen as well.
I think for us, we were less focused on the women. I mean, firstly, I'm a feminist. I'm a very proud feminist. But this story for us was about the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't kind of, you know, that was our focus. So it's not that I'm not interested in the women's stories. Mm-hmm. That's just something that we didn't focus on during this film. But yeah, as a feminist, I'm really proud to see the women at the protest and the women who are standing up for their rights and standing up as Punjabi women kind of should, or you know, how we're kind of taught to. That's, yeah, really, really important to me. And I think one of the reasons why I, you know, really wanted to make this film is because I, you know, growing up, I didn't see, you know, women who looked like me on TV or in, you know, in powerful places or even working within film. I never saw that. And so it was important for me to do this work to show other young women, you know, what's possible, and that you can do big things and you can actually be different to, you know, your peers within the community.
Yeah.
And you can just stand up for what you think is right. That's really, really important to me.
In terms of standing up for what you think is right, there's been a kind of a lack of that in some respects with famous Indian people, celebrities, Bollywood actors and stuff. And it actually took a couple of non-Indian young women to bring the world spotlight on it, in a way, you know, because Rihanna tweeted about it. So her tweet was a photo of the protest and the caption, "Why aren't we talking about this?" Now, she has 100 million followers on Twitter, you know, and that tweet has been retweeted, liked and shared so many times. And then Greta Thunberg tweeted that she stands with farmers. So pictures of both of these women were burnt on the streets of India, sadly. You know, that is horrific. These two young women who were trying to put a spotlight on this. It was just awful that people reacted in that way and saying horrible things about them and stuff. Why did it take that, though? Why did it take two young women who are not Indian to just shine a light on this?
Yeah, that's the really sad thing. I mean, it's to see to see two women who have essentially championed this movement and moved it forward, like, you know, massively, is a huge thing and a really brilliant thing. But the fact that our community were not able to do that within ourselves, I do think, there's a lot to be said for our own community and what we are doing to support the farmers. And even like in my journey with making this film, I had moments of real struggle where I was frustrated because I felt that, you know, this work was so important for our community and beyond to be watching and, you know, connecting with. And yet I didn't feel I was kind of getting the support that I wanted. So there is, yeah, there's definitely a conversation to be had about why we don't seem to be supporting our own.
Even with the Bollywood stars, right? Because, you know, they are the idols, aren't they, in India? So there's like nothing. There was nothing really. Like, I've just seen veteran actor Nasiruddin Shah, he put out a video saying how he supported the movement and how he really felt their pain, really. What, you know. But the others, you know, well-known actors, Akshay Kumar, who is Punjabi, other actors, they just basically copy and pasted a tweet, and that doesn't really say much about anything other than finding an amicable resolution and not pay attention to anyone who's trying to create differences. Those are the words on the tweet. So I don't really think that's helpful at all. And I mean, I don't know if it's to do with money, with who controls the film industry, because as we know, the Indian government could pretty much shut that down if they wanted to. So I don't know, maybe it's a case of their hands are tied, but I'm not quite sure. I don't know, what do you think about it? What do you think about what their response has been?
Yeah, it's definitely left a lot to be desired, for sure. I don't tend to kind of talk too much about the political side, but what I've always said is that I think often as Punjabis we look towards the government to protect us or to help us or to support us, and if you look at Sikh history, that's often not been the case. This is not the first time that the government has not backed Sikhs in you know, some of their endeavors. Yeah, I think my personal view is that in terms of the farmers and the issue that's going on right now, we Punjabis actually have a lot of resources. We have a lot that we can do for ourselves to support ourselves rather than relying on the government. Like, for instance, with the three new agricultural bills, if all of the farmers were to get together and say, we're not going to sell to the government anymore, or we're not going to sell to large corporations, then the power would be in their hands. It's just, I think there is some lack of confidence, lack of empowerment, which is in the Punjabi community for various reasons. Our history is a very kind of tragic and traumatic one.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And with the protests as well, it went from being something that was peaceful and just, you know, really well organized, which I think something that the Sikh community and Punjabi do really well. Like, if you're going to do something, it's properly organized, langar there, you know, drinking water, everything is sorted out. But then it went from being something that was quite violent. It got quite violent. People were arrested. You know, I'm still really concerned about, for example, journalist and Dalit activist Nordeep Kaur. And she's still in police custody. And according to news reports, she's been sexually assaulted. So that's just one of the people that has been arrested and hasn't been released. Have you been following that story as well?
Yeah, I've been following it, of course. She's one of a few activists or journalists who've been arrested. I mean, my heart goes out to them and their families. I really pray for a solution.
What can we do, though? What can the average normal person do, do you think, to support?
So, okay, for me, the first thing is to watch toxification.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to gain a deeper understanding of the issues. You can share the film. I mean, we're really proud and happy that it's on Amazon Prime now, which is obviously like a mainstream platform. So you can share the film with your friends and by friends and family, I kind of mean not just within our community. This is like, it's really important for me, for people outside our community also to be watching this film and to be gaining an understanding. So you can watch the film, you can share the film, you can support Saving Punjab, you can use your social media, you know, kind of feed to post about the issues that are going on, raise awareness. There's so much we can do. And I think another thing which is really important to note is that as consumers, I mean, like, we all eat food, and probably most of us, like, buy food from the supermarket. Probably most of us are not growing our own food. So there is an element of power in that exchange. We're buying produce from probably all over the world. And the situations that we've seen in Punjab are not unique to Punjab. So we have some power in the act of consuming food. And, you know, maybe it's time for us to be a bit more mindful about where this food is coming from and trying to understand how we can make choices and changes which might support the farmers in Punjab and the farmers all over the world.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like, put your money where your mouth is, because it shouldn't be like, you know how some people copy and pasted that black square when it was a Black Lives Matter movement, when that was, I mean, it's still going on, but when it was like in full force, you know, everyone was pasting the black square, and then a lot of people just forgot about it. Whereas I think what you're saying, to kind of make changes to your habits that can be ongoing, is the most important thing, rather than just putting hashtags down with farmers. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I think it is definitely important to use social media, but I think yeah, it becomes a different thing when you actually invest your money into a movement. So for me, that's all about thinking about where my food is coming from and trying to make educated decisions on that.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find out more about you and your work?
So, I do lots of different things, actually. In terms of toxification, there is toxification.com. In terms of my photography and film work, you can find my website, which is remthriath.com. I'm also a yoga and mindfulness teacher, and I do all things kind of health and well-being, which is, it's really nice because my different worlds have kind of come together with toxification and the work that I'm doing now. And that is all well-being. So you can find me online and on socials.
I didn't know that you were a yoga and mindfulness teacher as well. I did not know that, but you know what, it makes sense now. Like, thinking back to toxification, it all makes sense now. So yeah, I think people will kind of understand that when they watch it, definitely. Thank you for coming on and just talking to me about the farmers protest and sharing your story about toxification, and definitely people should go and watch it. So thanks a lot, and I just want to thank everybody for listening. Please don't hesitate to get in touch and let me know what you think about the farmers' protest. Maybe it impacts you and your family back home. Maybe you don't even agree with the protests. Let me know. Email me, mommyimperfect@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at sisterhoodofmommyimperfect and at Rina Dianabil. That's it for this week, Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'm going to be back next week. Until then, take care, love. Bye.